father, I tell people all the time, never had a checking account. He never had a banking account, a savings account. He was very much reluctant to go into financial institutions. Even when my mother and father bought their house, and they were in their mid-40s when they did, the mortgage company would always call him and say, would you please start a bank account so you can pay your mortgage? We can actually deduct it from your banking account. My father loved going down to the corner grocery store and buying money orders, and that's how he paid his bills. So I grew up without a real good appreciation of money management, of budgeting. But we certainly, were not always in dire straits, but they came from very humble roots, my parents did. And they struggled financially most of their lives. And so I think in many ways I learned from watching them and saying there have got to be some other options and alternatives. And maybe there's some psychological reason why I ended up in a bank regulatory environment.
That's what I was wondering about, mm-hmm. How you think about that, how mm-hmm. it affected your values and how it affected the trajectory of your professional career.
Absolutely. It's just about the access to credit. And what I saw is that there was a whole population in many ways that had been shut out of that and really didn't understand how to get their foot in the door. How do you get a credit card? How do you buy a house? How do you get a loan for a small business? And so I think that's always fascinated me.
And that was a lot of your work at the FDIC.
Correct. Especially financial education. We were focused on low and moderate income populations in particular. And so we worked with financial institutions and credit unions and community development corporations and others to really bring people into the financial mainstream, not only bringing them in, but keeping them there.
Then in 2007, 2008, we had this huge disruption in the American economy that was driven in large part by subprime lending.
And you saw certainly the impact of what happened to so many homeowners who were forced to leave their homes, lose their homes through foreclosure. But, in an interesting way, I think it's also been a good lesson learned, I hope, for everybody in this country about how lending can and should be done responsibly. I came into the CDFI fund at the very beginning of that crisis. I was deathly afraid when I first stepped into the job that the industry, the CDFI industry, was at a perilous point. But it wasn't. It actually survived. And I think it survived because there were just some great CDFIs who understood all along that their mission was to make sure that those customers made it through that storm, and they did.
You're here to give the keynote address to the Indianapolis Neighborhood Housing Partnership. So I want to ask you about what you see as some of our community's assets and some of its challenges when it comes to housing and neighborhood development.
Yeah. Indianapolis is a great place where you see the collaboration happening in a very effective way. So you've got for-profit and non-profit, you've got the chambers, you've got financial institutions, you've got corporations and other organizations all coming together and really looking at comprehensively a community development strategy. And what's most important is that the community is involved. What Indianapolis does really well is to make sure that the community's voice is not only heard, but often the community is the one taking the lead and saying, this is what our needs are. I think the challenges going forward always is going to be, how do you make sure that housing is affordable? And how do you make sure that there's sufficient housing for everyone? And especially for people who want to take advantage of being homeowners. Making sure that that's done in a way that not only that they can buy their home, but also stay in the home as well.